Experiences are our limitations. Experiences are our limitations. We sometimes think that appearances are our reality because that's what we see. We sometimes say that appearances are our reality because that's what we're living, that's what we're experiencing. We're experiencing illness, we're experiencing unhappiness, we're experiencing lack in any way, and we say that's our reality. And we know very well that is not our reality. It's only our reality as long as that's where we put our attention. Now, if we put our attention on being sick, we'll be sick. And we'll enjoy that sickness, and we'll enjoy it again and again and again and again. And then we'll see it in other people too. And we'll see it all over, everywhere. Because that's where our attention is. That's where our attitude is. That's where our thinking is. That's where the appearances happen to be. Now, a doctor walks through a intensive care ward, or he walks through a contagious ward or something, and he washes his hands before he goes in, and he washes his hands after he comes out, and so forth. But he just goes through there. Now, do you think that those germs, that those ugly things there that cause disease and unhappiness in people are just in what you touch with your hands and then put to your face? Or are they in the air? Are they spores that are floating around everywhere? Are they everywhere in the universe? Well, why is it that we don't experience them all the time? You could be in a room full of sneezing people and you don't sneeze. Now, that's not fair. You should sneeze because that's the appearance. And that's the thing that everybody puts their attention to. Well, when you start thinking about sneezing, when you say, not Gesundheit, or happy health to you, or, you know, good feelings to you, and you say, oh, I'm so sorry you have a cold. Oh, you got the sniffles coming on. Oh, my goodness, you know. And then you put your attention into the negative aspect of it. Now, when you go to the store and you are a baby, a youngster, 5, 6 years old or something like that, and your parents give you 10 cents or they give you a dollar. When I went to the store as a child, they gave us a penny. And we took that penny and we stood in front of the penny candy counter for the longest time before we chose whatever pieces of candy that penny would buy. And then we sucked on that candy and we played on it like a day sucker, you know. And we played on it. We enjoyed it. We were the richest kids in the world because we had what we went for. We went for penny candies and we got penny candies. Now, if somebody would say, well, hey, I got a couple extra pennies. I'm not using them. And, you know, we are like that. And you say, no, I'm fine. Now, why don't you take that? Well, because you are content. You are content with what you have chosen for yourself. You went to the penny candy store with a mental attitude to buy some penny candies, and you bought as many as you could. And then you made them last as long as they could last. You didn't suck on them real hard. You just gently put them in between your lip and your teeth so that they would, you know, just sort of be there the longest time. You wanted the longest time. You wanted that happy feeling the longest time. No. When a doctor goes into a patient's room or into a hospital or into any contagion ward, he doesn't say, oh, this is a contagion ward and everybody who is in here has this. I'm immune to it, I hope. You know, I'm immune to it because I have taken this pill or I've done that. But the thing is, I'm immune. The doctor doesn't say that. The doctor does not concentrate on the illness. He concentrates on the health that these people want. He concentrates on the wholeness that he can help them achieve by changing their attitudes and changing their way, by making the penny candy last longer and longer and longer until they walk out of there feeling just great. You know, when we went in the penny candy store, it was the Lefebvre's down in the village of Wauwatosa. And it's in the basement where the penny candies were and stuff like that. It was real nice. A lot of windows, you know, and it was always good. And we would go in there and, Oh, we had lots of friends, and we'd go after school, you know, and take our pennies and go down there. Well, now, some of the kids, their daddies were a doctor or, you know, very important and wealthy people, and they had 10 cents instead of 1 cent. And they would go in the store, and they would flaunt that in front of the kids who only had 1 cent. And the kids who only had 1 cent said, I'm happy with what I got. I'm happy with what I got. And the kids with 10 cents tried to make them feel poor, make them feel bad, make them feel ugly. And finally, the kids with the 1 cent said, would you like some of my candy? Would you like some of my... And you see, the kids with the 1 cent never felt they were poor. They never felt they were in lack. They never felt they were limited. And when they gave the little bit that they had, what did the other kids do? They saw this was done without expecting anything back. And they saw how good you felt for giving a little bit that you had away. And they started giving the little bit they had. In fact, they started saying to the class, okay, well, let's go down to the candy store after school, because it was only about a block or two away. And we'd go down there, and we would just first search and enjoy mentally each one of the candies. And then pretty soon we would buy what we planned on buying, not what we could afford, but what we planned on buying. Because we had something that would go so far, and we made it go so far. And then the richer kids... And the richer kids, and there were maybe four or five of them in every class of the richer kids, they would be with us too. And they would see the enjoyment we had in the penny, where they couldn't even get the enjoyment out of the 10 cents or the 50 cents or the dollar that they had. But they hung around with us. They hung around with us because they knew we knew how to appreciate things. And we were always happy. We were always filled with joy. We were always filled with penny candies. And we made them last. We made them last. Now, you can do that too. No matter what the conditions are in your life, no matter what the illnesses are in your life or the limitations are in your life, if you concentrate on the limitation, then it just keeps growing. They keep getting more and more and more. So, you say to your mom, I don't want to have my little brother run around with me. I don't want to have my little brother chase after me. He's, you know, 4 years younger or 3 years younger than my friends, you know. And I don't want them. And you know, when you're between 1 and 10 years old, a couple of years makes a lot of difference. And so my mother taught us, she says, you've got a gift. You've got a gift. You got brothers and sisters, five. And brothers and sisters, how wonderful that is. Now, any time you can ever take your little brother or your little sisters, any time you can ever take them anywhere, actually my sisters were a little older than I was, but any time you can take them, and any time you can make them happy, you watch, it'll make you happy. Any time you can do anything for anybody in this world, that makes them happy, it makes you happier than it could ever make them. And they will look at your richness of your happiness, and they want that too. And pretty soon, they'll start doing the same things that you're doing. And if you're generous and a loving and a giving person, they'll start being generous and loving and giving. Because they'll be. And it's not that you want them to be generous and loving and giving to you, but you want them to be generous and loving and giving in their world so that they can enjoy the happiness that you enjoy. And Mother told us this not once, but many times. Because there are five of us kids, and we were hearing on different levels. But we heard. We heard. And pretty soon, our house was filled with all the kids in the neighborhood, whether they're rich kids or poor kids or anybody kid, and they all wanted to eat at our house. Because around our table, it was always a happy time. It was always a friendly time. And we didn't have the richest clothes in town, but we had good stuff. And we took good care of it. We respected our clothing. And so our clothing looked better, longer than the rich kids who had good clothing, but they didn't have it any more often than we did. But they didn't take care of it. Now, this is something that you can learn. something you can live is to realize that the appearances of life are whatever you have in your heart. The appearance of being the richest kids in town going to the penny store and buying penny candy, my goodness sakes, you couldn't have had anything more wonderful. And those were depression years that I'm speaking about. Those were years of lack and limitation for everybody, but we had it. We had it. Because Mom would always keep a penny or two for each of us kids and give to us likely. And we appreciated it. We delighted in it. We would make it grow. We did not disrespect our clothing. We did not disrespect our toys. We did not bump our toys and make them crash and make them break up. We wanted them to work. And our happiest time was when we could have a toy that one of our neighbors wanted and to give it to him. Now, it didn't mean that we were such goody-goody kids. It's that our mother and our father trained us well. They trained us to realize that you don't believe in appearances. The appearances are what you make inside yourself. And when you make inside of yourself that you love everybody, then your whole life is just built on the idea, I share it, I give it. Whatever I have, I give. Whatever I am, I give away. And I'm the happy one because I gave something that somebody else felt they needed. Of course, once they had it, they didn't need it. But that's not the point. And that didn't. Just having them delight in having me give them anything made me feel very good. Not that I was richer than they, because many times they were far richer than I and had far more than I did. But the thing is, what was going on? I shared. I gave of my love. I gave of my appearances of limitation, and there were no limitation. Because how can you give? The widow's mite is not the thing that the widow gives. It's the widow's largesse. It's the widow's abundance that she shared in. She shared in the abundance she had. She had a little tiny bit here, but she gave it. And she gave it out of her heart. Not because she wanted people to realize she was poor and that she was so darn good giving something when she was so poor and she shouldn't have done that, but because it was made her feel good. It made her feel better than dinner did. Mm-hmm. I was watching a video about a man who works for the movie studios drawing the posters that they use to get people interested in the movies. And this man, he was a good artist, but people used him. And people put him down. And people tried to manipulate him and control him. And all he did was just wish them well and go on and make some more. And his programs, the posters that he made, that was it, the poster man, the posters that he made are so beautiful, so fantastic, that the movie stars look at the posters and say, he found things in me I didn't even know I had. He found goodness in me. And they're so beautiful. They're so wonderful and so glorious. But it's because he just gave. And then what happened in his life that was the greatest thing in the world? His parents were not loving parents. And he married a lady whose parents were not loving parents. But they were loving parents. And their children were super, and their grandchildren are super. And so now he's in retirement, so to speak, and what's he doing? He's doing pictures of his grandchildren. Mm-hmm. He's doing posters of them. He's doing things of them, plus movie stuff. But he is the happiest man available because nobody can cheat him. Nobody can take from him, even if they take whatever he has. And even if they go out and use it to make money for themselves, it doesn't bother him. Because he did his best in creating the poster. He did his best in putting his dreams, his ideals, his wisdom down on the marquee poster. And he's wonderful. Now, you too. Now, do you want a healthy body? Do you want a healthy mind? Do you want to have sufficient wealth to make you happy to do all the things you want to do? Well, then start acting as though you are that. And as you act as though you are that, you'll find that you are. Because you'll enjoy the penny candies. And with the penny candies, you'll have such a great delight that you don't realize that you've just enjoyed a new, beautiful Mercedes car. Mm-hmm. And you didn't want it, you didn't need it, but you just loved it. And so it was yours. And you look at someone who has good health and perfect health and wonderful, they're just dynamic, glorious people, and you say to yourself,
that's me.
That's me. That's me. Or you don't even say that's me. You delight in their good health and you see their good health because that is you. Because anything you see in the outer is who you are. So when the appearances aren't what you are too happy about, then just change your attitude and make sure that you don't feel jealous of somebody who has a nickel when you have a penny. And it's hard to talk about those things and the changing cultures of years as they go by, but the concept is always there. Give with the generosity of your heart and give loving statements to everybody about how beautiful they are, and you'll find that they will see that in you, what you see in them. Have a lovely day and be lovely just the way I am. I love you. I love you. I love you.